Good evening. We're almost at that big moment. Those who feel ready will pronounce their consecration this evening, which in biblical time is the moment of a new day, when the stars are rising in the night. The Blessed Virgin was assumed into heaven, surrounded by angels. The stars are watching over you. Your guardian angel is singing like midnight mass in Bethlehem, when Jesus was born as a child of Mary. I first made the consecration on the Feast of Lourdes. It's very special that many of you are making this consecration the first time on a dogmatic feast. The clergy in Germany was not at all happy when Pope Pius XII wanted to proclaim the dogma in 1950. The nation was half Lutheran, and there was concern that unnecessary attention to Mary might impede ecumenical dialogue. But the Pope was receiving petitions for the dogma from all over the world. Something was driving the people to suddenly want this ancient belief to become an obligatory belief. But nobody, not even the Pope, could quite put into words why exactly it needed to be dogmatized. Father Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict, struggled very much with it as a young university professor in Germany. In his encyclical, Pope Pius presented the dogma as a remedy for communism. By encouraging people to meditate on the reality of heaven, mankind would hopefully reject the false doctrines of materialism. 30 years later, Cardinal Ratzinger offered another reason, which also seems a bit lame. Quote, "The dogma of the Assumption is simply the highest degree of canonization," end quote. The truth is, it was the Holy Spirit moving in the hearts of the people to declare their faith in something that was still a mystery. It is Mary herself who is gradually unveiling that mystery. Do you know what Mary said about the Assumption right after 1950? She said at Amsterdam, quote, "The dogma of the Assumption had to precede. The final Marian dogma will be the greatest one. You shall tell," she was speaking to Ida, "you shall tell the theologians to keep up their fight for the Marian dogma of co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. I will help them. I wish to be called the Lady of all nations. The Lord and Master wants to bring spiritual unity among the nations of the world. For this reason, he is sending Miriam, or Mary, as the Lady of the Nations." This is a recently approved apparition, so it's not very well known yet. That's my job, to make Mary's words known. More particularly, it's the task and charism of the new order of the Mother of God. Mary dictated the rule during her apparition at La Salette for a new religious order in the latter times. She said that lay members will be an essential part of this order. The women who have been giving talks the past 6 weeks, six Tuesdays, also feel called to help spread Mary's messages. If you want to know more about it, there is information on the table at the main entrance. Mary says that today's dogmatic feast is a stepping stone. Each step is the foundation of the next step. If you're working on a math problem, you can't skip some steps to reach the right answer. The dogma on Mary's divine motherhood is not difficult to understand. If she's not the mother of God, then Jesus wasn't divine. We can see how important that was to the early church to state clearly Mary's divine maternity. The other dogma of the early church, namely perpetual virginity, goes far beyond the idea that Jesus had to be Mary's firstborn son. The early church insisted that Jesus was her only child, that she and Joseph persisted in chastity their whole lives. But they didn't tell us why it was important. It was a sensus fidei. It was much like the dogma of the Assumption. They just had this sense that it was critical in salvation history. A thousand years later, Mary herself starts pushing for a third Marian dogma. In 1830, the little postulant, Catherine Labouré, received the first Marian apparition for the world. She saw a vision of the miraculous medal, which had the inscription, "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you." Soon after that, Rome was receiving petitions begging Blessed Pius IX to declare that a dogma. 4 years after he did so, Mary told Bernadette and the world, "I am the Immaculate Conception." Now, that was pushing the envelope. It was one thing to say that she had been immaculately conceived, but to call herself a conception? Saint Maximilian Kolbe was a young priest and totally intrigued by that title. He kept meditating on Mary's identity. Who are you, O Immaculate Conception? There were two others who had that title, Eve, who lost it by staining herself with sin, and the Holy Spirit, who is the mother of the Son of God, as the conduit of the Father's thought, as God conceived the Son in his mind, in pure, immaculate love. So the third dogma lets us know that Mary wasn't just lucky to be chosen as the mother of baby Jesus. Mary's determination to remain pure enabled her to be a fit instrument for a unique relationship with the Holy Spirit. Saint Maximilian called her the quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the invisible, powerful bond, like the traditional mother in the heart of the home, holding the family and the Trinity together in a current of love. Moreover, Mary's vocation is to take the place of Eve as the mother of the human family. However, since Eve declined to accept her duty, we don't quite know what the world would have looked like under Queen Eve's dominion. That's why these dogmas are mysteries waiting to be unveiled. There was no obvious human motivation for the proclamation of the fourth dogma. The Church had a feast for the Assumption for centuries. Most Catholics believed it, but they were allowed to question it. Suddenly, in the early 1900s, people felt they should no longer let it be an optional belief that Mary is in heaven in the flesh. The new Eve and the new Adam must reign together in their natural bodies. No one else, not Saint Joseph, nor Elijah, only these two, Mary and Jesus. All the other saints and sinners in heaven and hell must wait until the last day before their souls and bodies can be united. Why is this important? It was a step in the equation. Mary began talking about the fifth and final dogma only after, and immediately after, the fourth dogma was in place. I've uploaded a talk on YouTube in which I argue that all of the modern apparitions of Mary with messages for the world, the series given at Amsterdam, is the most important. She appears there standing against a cross, symbolically draped in her son's loincloth, her hands showing the wounds of the nails. She is the mother of the bride church, the queen of the church, the head of the bride. We are her body, and united to Christ, he is the head of the mystical married body. We are being called to resemble Christ, our spouse. We are headed straight for a time of rejection, of persecution, of crucifixion, of a time in the tomb when we might seem dead. The new Adam's death on the cross conquered the serpent's dominion over hearts and opened paradise for every person who calls on his name. But the death of his bride, the new Eve, will conquer the serpent's dominion on the earth to turn earth back into paradise and claim it as God's property. Mary will lead us through this hard time when hearts are growing cold. She will comfort us as a mother and rally us as a queen. She will cheer us on and stand beneath our cross, offering our trials to the Father, until finally the Church will have the courage and unity to proclaim the final dogma, which will authorize her as Lady and Queen of all nations. Then the new Adam and the new Eve together will triumph by expelling all the evil spirits from the earth forever. This surely corresponds to the much prophesied 3 days of darkness. Like the 9th and 10th plagues of Egypt, that ancient cleansing allowed the Israelites to enter the promised land, and a new cleansing of evil persons will allow the meek to finally inherit the earth. Today's dogma is Mary's 4th step. Father Bernie will lead us in a moment to step up with Mary and walk forward with her. After the consecration, we'll have a photographer here with our group. But next week, two of the ladies will give 2 final talks in Dominic's Hall after we show a 60-minute video on Mary's apparitions in the 20th century. So you're invited one more Tuesday, this time not in the church, but at Dominic's Hall, same time after Mass, 6:30 Mass. Katie will give us a much-needed pep talk on fasting, which Mary asks of us. And Cindy will offer a reflection on the new prayers that Mary has taught us in her apparitions. We hope to see you next Tuesday, the Feast of Mary's Queenship. And now, Father Bernie.